This is the Uncover You podcast, and I'm Eva Berunius. I'm here to help you navigate your transformational journey so you can experience the you underneath the conditioning and unconscious beliefs. You always find the show notes over at selfmasteryandbeyond.com, and you're welcome to join me live for these sessions over Zoom. Let's get to the core of things. Here's today's episode. A personal transformation isn't something that happens overnight. It's necessary to learn new skills and to change how you look at your old patterns to make a deep and lasting shift. So this is not really a journey for the faint-hearted, since it will have you face and shift that foundation that you've built your identity on. And you've been building it for years and years. So the question is it worth it? And if you ask me, and if you ask many of the people in the community and people doing this work, they would say it's more than worth it. The rewards are a sense of freedom, inspiration, self-realization, joy, and peace, just to mention a few. And as a bonus, you get well-practiced skills that you now can apply to keep navigating the world and your unconscious. Skills that you can use for a lifetime. And actually, it's the skills that made the transition, the transformation possible. With these skills, you become the master of self and the artist of your own life. So in this first episode, it's my attempt to give you a good overview of the self-mastery process. Because if you know where you're at and what is ahead, you have a much better chance of understanding what you might need to move forward. So in the self-mastery journey, you often show up to do this work in a victim identity. And the suffering that you're experiencing in there has made you motivated enough to start making changes. That suffering, whether it's insecurity or anger or jealousy, whatever it is, that has made you motivated enough to say, like, it's enough, I want to do something about this. And you've started to look at your own responsibility in that. So as you start learning skills to step out of that victim role and start observing your patterns, you'll become the hunter of your old beliefs. But there's more. You can keep moving and you'll become the dreamer and artist and practice skills for those roles as well. So let's look a little more closely at each one of these stages. So the victim is where your unconscious is pulling the strings of your life, so to speak. It's directing your decisions and reactions. And one could say that your dream is dreaming you. You're, for example, feeling the hurt of your past experiences and you're reliving them in the present. And you're also projecting them onto the future, feeling like they will happen again and again and again. And you're unconsciously living by the protection mechanisms that are trying to avoid feeling painful emotions. And you might not even know that these are there. And you might be living with shame and guilt for things you've done, or how you're feeling and behaving, how your reactions are showing up in your relationships. Your attention is also unconsciously being pulled along by the program of your mind and also the things and people around you. You don't have a conscious way of moving your attention or even knowing where it's going and how that affects your perspective. So then, when you start moving into the hunter and learning the skills of the hunter, this is then where you've turned the tables and you're hunting the unconscious system of beliefs and agreements that are driving your thoughts and emotions. And when you're dissolving the layers on top of the experience of your core self, so it's not about adding, it's about taking apart, uncover you. So in here, you'll be learning and practicing skills in understanding how the mind works. And in stalking, meaning inventorying, journaling, mapping your thoughts and emotional reactions to understand them, to see them, and maybe start seeing connections between them. See them as a whole ecosystem. And also, very necessary, learning to be with and release emotions so that they have a natural way of releasing out from you. You'll also learn to direct your attention consciously. Instead of having it just pulled along, you'll decide where you direct it and at least observing when it's being pulled along. And you're definitely practicing the observer perspective on identifying with the programs of the divine and stepping out to observe them. And then what's next? Well, then if you keep going, if you keep practicing, if you keep expanding your awareness, you can move into the identity of the dreamer. And this is where you start experiencing yourself outside of the old programs and outside the old identity with the mind. You're expanding your awareness outside of the previous known realms of your mind, and you're exploring connecting with unconscious parts, really going into your unconscious to meet with these parts of you that are carrying certain beliefs. Now you're able to access your unconscious, not just think about it. And you're also exploring embodying and living your knowledge rather than speaking it. So bringing it into the body and making it, having it come alive in you. You're practicing feeling versus thinking. We've been a lot up in our heads and now feeling into the body and even sensing consciousness inside and outside of you. Be connecting with your heart center and activating these other parts of your being that you might not have paid a lot of attention to. You'll also activate your intent and feeling into what you truly want that's not driven from the ego mind. And you'll practice loving all of you, also the parts that previously haven't been very welcome. And you're practicing being, also when doing and thinking. So not separate, just in your meditation practice when you're sitting and breathing and being present. But see if those can merge and that there's no separation between being, also while doing or thinking. So these are some of the things that you'll be exploring. And it all depends on kind of what tickles you, what sparks your interest. Because now the play field is more open and you can go into different directions depending on what interests you. So the artist identity then, this is where you're using your regained personal power that you've been taking back from that have previously been put into all these unconscious beliefs and protection mechanisms that are keeping you safe. That personal power you're now using to consciously create the dream that you want, the life that you want, the way you want to live, the way you want to feel. So at this stage, now you're consciously transmitting more than unconsciously receiving. It's not that unconscious dream dreaming you anymore, but you're consciously creating and sending that out, sharing it with others as well. You'll understand the power of words and of energy and of your attention, these kind of superpowers that you have at your disposal, and you use them well. You are connected with your intuition and your deeper wantings to navigate where to go next instead of being run by the ego mind. You're loving the experience of you with both dark and light, with all the parts of you. So those are the different identities: the victim, the hunter, the dreamer, and the artist. But you don't move through these identities with a clean cut. It's not like when you upgrade your avatar in a video game and suddenly you're new and shiny. No, it's more like you gradually shift your identity and you start blending your old victim outlook with a new flavor of the hunter perspective when you start practicing those skills. And when you start learning the dreamer skills, now you're adding new skills that will take apart more of the victim identity and also help support your hunting skills. And then when you start practicing creating from the artist perspective, you'll most likely come across new beliefs that have been hiding that you haven't noticed before. So you see, it's like a blend. It's like a mix that you slowly are changing, a brew that you're putting together with these different skills. And some of these shifts in identity go faster and some are slower. Another way of putting it is that different areas of your life can be in these different identities at the same time. So after a year or two with the self-mastery work, you might approach your career from the artist identity, while your morning meditation is where you go practice your dreaming skills, for example, and you're currently hunting some beliefs around money that just surfaced, that you just got to see. Meanwhile, that one relationship that you've been struggling with is still moving out of the victim state. So it's not about only being in one or the other, but it's different areas of your life that can be in different phases. And you move these different areas through these states. And I want to share with you why we start learning about the mind first, the unconscious patterns. Why can't we just focus on the good things that we want in life instead? Well, there are a lot of self-improvement practices out there that will tell you not to focus on the bad stuff, you know, or they might even scare you from going there with statements like, oh, you get what you focus on, meaning that if you put your attention on the things that you don't want anymore in your life, that's what you'll get more of. So that doesn't sound like a good deal. But a practice like that, where you only look at the good things, only looking at what you want and avoid the things that are actually there and the things that are hidden in your unconscious, they will only take you so far. It will might bring you some shifts, but it will come to a stop. And why is that? Well, one, it's not about becoming someone else. You don't need to learn self-love or to feel alive. Those are not things you need to learn. Because if you do, that often ends up in adding layers to your program of the mind. You think that this is something that needs to be learned from the mind, and you go on practicing it and add it on top of everything that's already there. Well, the truth is that all you're longing for, it already exists there inside you, at the core of yourself. And you'll start experiencing it when you remove the layers of unconscious programming that's on top of it. And the second reason is that your unconscious is what is mainly running your thoughts and emotions. If you avoid looking there, you're missing the engine and the machinery. Then you're missing looking at the root cause. And not until you fully accept and embrace your unconscious parts, even the ones that, you know, we tend to be ashamed of or call bad or dirty or evil, not until you fully accept and embrace them can they be brought into the daylight of the conscious mind and be allowed to change. And reason number three why this is not working that well, why it's not taking you that far to only focus on the positive, is that life or consciousness itself, that what everything is created from, does not differentiate between good or bad. So when we decide to look away from half of the creation, like everything that's bad or dark or not pleasant, we're agreeing with the mind of its labeling of the world. And therefore, you're still in the old program of your mind. You're looking at the world from within a program, from within a perspective of the mind. And finally, number four, you won't recognize the difference between your mind's concept about the world and this deeper, direct experience of yourself and the world if you haven't gotten to know the mind. Like, you don't know it well enough because you haven't looked at it. So how can you tell the difference of when you're outside of it? And I promise you, it's almost 100% guaranteed that your mind will keep morphing and it will learn new ways of hooking your attention, including showing up as, for example, a very spiritual, grateful, and loving person. So if you can't tell the difference that it's the mind putting on a new mask, playing a new role, a new part, you'll most likely settle with this new kind of upgraded version of your mind and of yourself and of an identity. And you'll never know that there's more. So I want to tell you about some of the places where people get stuck on this journey and what you need to move past that roadblock, because they are part of the journey. So don't try and go and avoid them. It's like, oh, I shouldn't get there. Now I should avoid these roadblocks that Eva's talking about, because they will actually have you practice more skills. They will make you become stronger. Like with any challenge that we face, we're exercising our muscles. But it can be good to know what they might be. If you happen to be in one right now, for example, and what to go look for to move out of them. So one common one that often happens when you move into the hunter experience, the hunter identity, and practicing those skills, is that we get stuck in trying to figure it all out with our heads, think our way out of old patterns. So we go hunt for, like, if I just could understand what this means, or if I can just see the connection behind all of this, and we try to think and analyze and scrutinize and figure it out. But often at this point, if we're there, what we need to do is, for example, learn connecting with our emotions and release them. More thinking is not going to do it. Practice feeling, practice sensing in the body, because that might be something that we've been very cut off from. And we've lived a lot of our lives up in our head and relying on that thinking. So learn to connect with feeling and with your body. And also start with the dreaming practices, where you can learn to tell the difference between a direct experience and an image of the mind or an idea of the mind that will help you move into a different way of accessing beliefs so that they can start giving you information than trying to figure it out with your head. Another common place where we often get stuck, and we often get stuck again and again in different iterations on the journey, is that we apply the hunting skills to some parts of the mind, but while we're still identifying with other parts. So for example, you might notice a reaction inside of you, or a thought or an emotion, oh, that's the judge or that's the victim, whatever it might be. But you don't notice your own reaction to having that initial thought. So often this happens, for example, with the judge. So that's one that we quite often can move out of, and we say, oh, that's the judge. I recognize that one. That's the critical voice in my head that keeps beating me up and telling me everything I should have done differently. But what we don't realize is that we often identify as the one the judge is speaking to. In that sense, we're still identified as the victim, because that's often who the judge is speaking to, telling us we're not good enough, or telling the victim it's not good enough, he's not doing well enough. So start applying those hunting skills, like practicing again and again, asking yourself, what perspective am I in, will help. But at this point, we often need to have our world a bit shaken, be blown away, and kind of see that to what extent our world, our life is actually run by these different programs. And when we've gotten a glimpse of that, you know, one of those aha moments, oh my God, that's a part as well. That's also the mind. Then we often up-level our hunting skills and we're like, okay, now I see the extent of this. So in a way, we need our world to be shaken up a bit to get ourselves out of these identities that are remaining, or that identification with the mind. And another part that I want to mention is we're often becoming identified as that hunter when we move into and learn the hunter skills. And we're like, yes, I'm on it. I'm observing these parts. I'm figuring them out. I'm analyzing them. And we think that's the end of the line. We think that's like, okay, I'm doing this work. But we are not realizing that we have created another character in the mind. That hunter, that observer that we have kind of recruited to help us on this journey, like a spiritual warrior, it's another part of the mind. And this is needed at a certain point. It's so helpful. And you need that ally with you. But it can also keep you stuck in the head after a certain point. So analyzing and scrutinizing everything that your mind does, that won't be sustainable, because the mind does a lot of things, a lot of things every day. And if you were going to analyze all of that and look at it and give it all your attention all the time, you wouldn't put your attention anywhere else. Not into dreaming beyond the mind, not into connecting with consciousness, not into creating what it is that you want in your life. A feeling of gratitude, for example. This is where it's time to start practicing dreaming and moving more into your body and out of your head, and start directing your attention instead of on the mind all the time. Turn it around and direct it onto the observer itself, the one who is observing all of these things, the one beyond the mind. So at that point, you kind of know that, okay, I'm ready to start practicing some dreaming skills, and that will help with my hunting skills as well. So to finish off here, before we dive into some questions, I want to give you three tips that's been very helpful for me on my journey, and that I'm also guiding clients into, and that often are like, I see them as milestones almost on this journey that are important steps. So three things that meant a lot on my own journey is, number one, learning how the mind works. And you can do that by recruiting a hunter, warrior, observer character, but also learn how to get out of it later, so you don't attach to it and only run its errands. Number two is to move your knowledge out of your head and into your body. Like all this knowledge, all that, the new skills that you've gained, that you really are bringing them into your body so you can live it, feel it, and embodying it more than speaking of it. That's an important transition to make, to if you want to keep moving further. And number three is learning to love, and not just accept, but truly, truly love all your parts, especially the dark ones that we've learned to be ashamed of. And all this might be happening over, you know, several years. So this is not something that you're aiming for at the first get-go. You're like, okay, go start loving my parts. No, it starts happening. It comes in a certain order of things. So that's why we're showing this journey as a transition from the victim to the hunter. You need those skills first, and you need to regain some personal power that you're winning back from, that's been put in these beliefs that you put your faith in. And now you can move into the dreamer and start expanding outside of the mind and outside of the old programs of your mind. And that will also help your hunting skills. And lastly, the artist, where you are consciously creating what it is that you want in your life. So one question. Hi, Cindy. Cindy's asking, could you elaborate on dreaming skills? So for example, it's what you do when you go into a meditation practice. It's what we do in the Beyond the Mind course, for example, is what you do partly also when in the Self Mastery One course, already in the first session, when you're practicing gratitude, you're dreaming a different dream than what you're used to be inside. So the dream that your unconscious program has created and is creating all the time, recreating, it has you dream a certain dream. And stepping out of that and start, what if I bring up this kind of emotion instead? An emotion of gratitude or appreciation. That's dreaming a different dream. So now you're practicing your dreamer skills. Or in the Beyond the Mind, when we're turning our attention around and we start putting our attention on the observer itself and learn how to fine-tune our attention to kind of pick up on that frequency. Those are all dreaming skills. So anything that's outside of your old box, your old program of beliefs, or even outside the experience of the mind, dreaming outside of that, start sensing as consciousness. That would be dreaming skills. Carla is asking, in what sequence should the training courses in the Self Mastery website be taken? How should they be stacked up on each other? So there are some different routes to take there, depending on just preferences and what you kind of feel interested in. But the foundation, the transition from victim to hunter, happens in the Self Mastery One course. Now you're start to move out of the program and start observing it. And after that, you could, for example, continue with Self Mastery 2, which will you'll practice both some dreaming skills and some artist skills and more hunting skills. You can also move into Beyond the Mind, a meditation course, which will give you a deeper sense of yourself beyond the mind. So as consciousness itself, and start having that direct experience of that. And then I'm offering a Being Me mastermind that's really both dreaming and really strong into the artist, where you get in touch with that deeper wanting and desire to create, to go create the life that you want, and have it really being brought into the body and embody it, not just know how to, but feeling it, living it. We will actually start marking a lot of the courses this way so that you can see what kind of skills you'll be getting from them. And we'll also add a lot more support to many of the courses that are kind of foundational, so that you get more help in moving through them. And there are also courses coming this spring already, some new courses, a character interviewing course where we go really deep into your hunting skills in one like kind of specific area of, but it has some dreamer qualities to it as well, because you need to go in and access your unconscious. So that will be a very interesting course that we'll be doing later this the coming spring. And a relating and connecting course that's also coming up. There'll be both dreaming and artist as well. But the foundation is self-mastery one. Let's see. So Kimberly is asking, I'm a bit overwhelmed as I've done the self-mastery and I'm currently doing the Beyond the Mind and I'm unsure of how much time to devote to this. Sometimes I feel like I can let it go to kind of soak in what I've already learned. And sometimes I feel like I have to be diligent and hunker down and do more work because I feel myself slipping into old patterns. My attention starts getting hooked away again from someone who is super task-oriented and definitely live in the mind constantly. Any suggestions on how to balance this? Maybe ways of keeping it in check so I don't go too far when one way or the other. So, Kimberly, it all depends on what you want for yourself. Like, what do you want the outcome to be? And sometimes that really shifts and changes throughout the journey. So it's good to revisit it and like, okay, I started out with the motivation of get myself out of pain and suffering. So where am I now on that journey? Have I gotten where I wanted with that? So I think first is really important to identify your intent and to state that clearly. And sometimes let that be a bit of a process. Let that take some time instead of just answering from the mind and like, oh, this is what I want. But like, sit with it, walk with it, be with it for a few days or even weeks. Like, how important is this for me? Because connecting with that intent is also what will help drive you forward, which will help, you know, those days when it's kind of hard and just feels hard to practice and we just want to pull a blanket over our head. That intent that you've stated it clearly for yourself will help move you forward. So I would say, start with asking yourself that question. What do I want out of it? Because there's no one have to do any of these practices. It's just if you want something for yourself that these practices can help with. So if you find that why for you, I think you'll also have a clearer answer to the question, how much time do I devote to this? Where on my priority list is this for me right now? And this journey can look so different for different people. Some of us just like dive head in and like super motivated and make it almost our full-time job. And other of us, you know, we do the first four lessons and we like, oh, that was interesting, but I'm coming back after 2 years. Okay, now I'm going to do self-mastery one. Coming back after 3 years again, doing a different thing. So it's not about any right or wrongs. Those are what we're trying to get you out of. We're not going to put new ones up. Like, these are the rules and you should accomplish course two after course one within a year. Like, no, it's completely after your own intent and desire and wanting. And like, these practices and what's out there is more an answer to what you're asking for. So let me know, Kimberly, what you find there with your intent, and then we can help guide you further once you know that. And Rosemary is asking, what will we be doing in the podcast? Is this different than working our way through the self-mastery modules or continuing beyond? Yes, this is very different. I won't go so deep into, we won't go into specific practices and doing together like we do in the trainings. But what I want to do here is give you some really helpful nuggets, like on that journey that I just show you, from the victim to the artist. Like, go in and talk about specific topics. It can be resistance. What do I do when the procrastinator is showing up again and again and again? Oh, I have the shiny object syndrome. I just keep hunting for new things on this journey. The things that are in the way and skills and helpful nuggets that you hopefully then can go back and apply to your practices in a place where you'll get help moving forward that can help guide you past some of the things you might feel stuck in. So that's my intent with this podcast. And we'll talk about specific topics and answer a few questions, and hopefully you get a good nugget. So thanks so much for tuning in with me, and I'll be here next week again, and I'll be posting that event soon, and we'll see what that will be about. A little more specific topic on the journey. Thank you, all of you. I'll see you soon. Thank you for listening. Do you want to tune in live with me over video next week? Then head over to selfmasteryandbeyond.com for instructions. And if this was helpful to you, I appreciate a review in the podcast app that you're using. Until next week.